I want to add my thank you to what Fred shared earlier, to all of you who have served our country faithfully, to those of you who have loved ones, family members who have done that. When I think about my position in America today, I just think about the word grace. It reminds me of the work of our Savior. What I experience here in this country is such a gift that I didn't deserve, that I didn't pay for, that I could never earn. The freedom we have is inexpressible. There's no comparison. And it reminds me of the sacrifice of our Savior and of His awesome grace and gift to us. So again, we just say thank you. And we're going to take on the great question today. Why are we so blessed? Do you ever think about that question sometimes? Why do we have so many resources? Here in our country, we have more blessings than any country in the history of humanity. More than anybody has ever had. Why do we have so many blessings? Yesterday, we celebrated the 239th birthday of America. Did you reflect a little bit on the blessings we have? I often ask myself this question. Why was I born in America? Why am I here? Especially as I have seen firsthand the picture of third world countries and the people that are there. I see women in my mind now from South Sudan, a different country from the Republic of Sudan, the North Sudan. When I was walking, actually, we were bicycling through the area, trying to find people that we could share the gospel with, that we could talk to, and I came across a well. And there, gathered around that particular well, were a lot of women who had come to fill up their containers with water so that they could have something to drink that day, so that they could maybe wash their clothes a little bit or take care of some needs at home. I felt like I was living out John chapter 4, that time that Jesus showed up at the well and began to talk to the woman who was a Samaritan there. In fact, as this picture is being taken, that's what I'm telling these ladies, the story from John 4 about how Jesus came to give a special kind of water, not just physical water, but eternal spiritual water, shared the gospel with these ladies there. That's what I think about when I think about living in America. I didn't have to think twice about getting a drink of water this morning, and I didn't have to go to the well to get it. Why are we so blessed? I'm also reminded of another scene that I had in Rwanda. As we arrived there, we carried with us some shoes for children who had never had a pair of shoes in their lives. You see a picture here of the feet of some of those children. Some of them have some old shoes on. Some of them have none. The next picture you see are the shoes that we gave them as they are looking down, not at the camera. They're looking at their feet because they've never had shoes on their feet before. And this morning, I just didn't have to think twice about getting a pair of shoes that actually matches my suit. Same color. Didn't have to think about that here today. And then I think about children in Kalimantan, Indonesia, formerly known as Borneo. They don't have any school in their village. Or at least they didn't when the time this picture was taken. When the story went out about the need there, there have now been Christian teachers trained in that country who have now made it their mission to go there. And they're part of a new school in this community. Before we went there, no school. They could not read or write at all. And they had a lot of time on their hands. And they'll get a meal that day if their father catches a fish from the village or if dad catches a wild boar in the trap that he set out in the area. There's no grocery store in that area. No place to get food like you and I have them. And so I pause at times like these and I just ask myself this question to you. Why am I so blessed? Why have I received so much? I believe the answer is quite simple. And this is our challenge today. We have been so blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. So that we can be generous. So that we can be givers. So that we can share the incredible blessings that we have received so undeservedly. We have been blessed so that we can give. Give what? Give of our time. Give of the talents that God has given us. To give of the treasure that He has lent to us. No, it's not ours. And we didn't deserve it or earn it in any way. We are not so blessed here in America because we are such wonderful people. Do you understand that? It's His grace. It's His gift to us. Why? It's not so that we can hoard all the blessings that He has given us. And again, should I emphasize, lent us. He has given us this so that we might give to others. There's a Bible study technique that will really change your outlook on Scripture if you would ever consider looking at it this way. Somebody has defined it as the top line, bottom line study of the Word of God. And it's a great philosophy for life. Here's what we tend to do. We tend to look at Scripture from just the top line perspective. In other words, what blessings are there for us? For us, not what we can give for others. I want to show you an example of that in Genesis 12. Something we often call the Abrahamic covenant. It's there in the first few verses of that chapter. Look at verses 2, the first part of verse 3. This is the top line look at Scripture. God is speaking to Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. Sounds like a lot of blessings there for us, right? But look at the last part of verse 3. And this is the bottom line of the study of God's Word. And all people groups on the planet, God says to Abram, on earth will be blessed through you. We have been blessed in order that we might become a blessing to others. So much of Scripture we tend to look at just from the top line perspective. Let me give you another example of that from Psalm 46, verse 10. We know and often have memorized this very simple statement where God says, be still and know that I am God. But that's just the first part of verse 10. The second part is the bottom line of the blessing. How many times have we read or memorized it? Why are we to be still and know God? So that He will be exalted among the nations, among the people groups. And I will be exalted in the earth. These are the words of God. Why do we be still before God? Why do we get to know Him? Is it just for us to experience the benefit of that relationship? No. It's so that He will be exalted across the planet, beginning where we live, going everywhere. Why do we receive? We receive so that we can be generous, so that we can give. Earlier, Brad read such a powerful passage of Scripture. I cannot even tell you how many times I have been in awe of these verses that he read these last couple of weeks as I've been preparing this message. I want us to look at this passage and to examine some truths that you and I can put into practice so that we can understand why we have been blessed so much. First, giving really comes to life. It comes alive when we experience the grace of God. That's the beginning. Giving is born. It is birthed when we experience the grace of God. Listen again to verse 1 from 2 Corinthians 8. And now, brothers and sisters, We want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Macedonian churches, what does that have to do with us? Let me tell you what's going on in the first century world. The Jerusalem Christian church, which is primarily made up of Jews at this point in time in history, is going through intense persecution, famine, they're going without food, and poverty. They're experiencing some very, very difficult times. What happens? The Gentile churches, that's made up and referred to as the Macedonian churches here, those in Asia Minor, those in Achaia, those in other parts of that world, hear about the challenges that the Jewish church is facing. What do? They say, let's help. Let's give. Let's be generous. Now think about the context of this generosity. These are people that normally don't even like each other. The Jews consistently look down upon the Gentiles. But then people who were Jews became followers of Christ as well and recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And then the word got out to the Gentiles and they started following Christ. And so here we see that Gentiles who normally were in dire conflict with Jews begin to give. Folks, we're hearing a lot about racism problems, aren't we? Around our country and even around our world. Do you know what the solution to that is? It's simple, the gospel. When Jesus Christ becomes Lord, there's no such thing as Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. The land, the ground under the cross is level. That's the bottom line solution. When we truly follow Christ, racism will go away and it will be history. Do you see how Christianity is the answer to every situation that we face in our world today? That's why we need to get this message out. We are so blessed as followers of Jesus Christ. The list of those blessings are so long. Forgiveness, hope, unconditional love from God, eternal life, purpose here as followers of Christ. What is the natural response to the grace of God? We don't keep it all. We don't hoard the blessings, but instead we look to give to others. That's how we respond to God's grace. We step it up in our giving to others. We should be more willing to give our time, the talents and spiritual gifts we have, the treasure that God has lent us, and we do it in His name, and we do it for His glory. There's a second practical giving truth that we see here in our passage. Look at what the Macedonians show us. They show us that generosity is bigger than difficulties. Generosity is larger. It's bigger than even the tough times we face. Because here's what they're experiencing. Look at verse 2. In the midst of a very severe trial. Please hear this. Why are they so generous? Is it because everything's going wonderful? And they have all these gifts, all these blessings? No. The reason that they are giving is because they're hurting. Isn't that ironic? How often do we choose to be generous in the midst of difficult times? But that's what the Macedonians do here. It says their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Notice that the Macedonians don't wait until everything straightens up before they choose to give. We see a very strange partnership illustrated in the lives of the Macedonians. Look at this equation. Overflowing joy plus poverty equals rich generosity. This is amazing to me. I just want to say, wow. Their example is awesome. When Lee and I were together serving in Tunisia, in North Africa, we met a young lady And I'm going to call her by the letter M. And for those of you who were here with us last week, this is not the same young lady we had with us here. She decided along the way, as a Muslim, that she was going to turn from her past and that she was going to follow Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord, believing Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. This decision was going to lead to some severe problems in her life. In fact, it began with her dad, because when her dad found out, he chained her up inside their house, and she could never leave. He chained his daughter inside the house. On several occasions, he went in, he picked her up, and he body slammed her on the floor because she had turned from Islam to Christianity. You might think, wow, that guy must be a really big, strong guy. I haven't met him, but listen, M might weigh 85 pounds as a young lady, not a lot of weight, so it was probably pretty easy for him to do that. Now, think about your life. If you've gone through that, because you become a Christian, would it be easy to be discouraged, to withdraw, to kind of walk away from that, maybe even to get angry and frustrated at God? That's not what she did. She came as a student to the place where we were meeting. She's working on her degree. But her reason for going there is not just to go to a class and get credit for that. Because right away, she began to look for other people around that hotel that we were staying in who were not followers of Christ. She engaged them in conversation with the goal of trying to share the gospel with them. She didn't come just to get credit for her class. She's living that lifestyle and being generous and sharing. The lady that she encountered, and she told me about this young lady early on in the week, is a dancer. In fact, the hotel would put together, turned out four young men and just this one young lady were dancers, and they would go outside and on this little stage and put on a little show. Most evenings they were out there doing something. But we were trying to get together with her. M had engaged this young lady whose name was Rima. I can just tell you her name. A Muslim, a young lady. We began to talk to her some, and I was trying to speak to her through our young lady M as a translator. And I was trying to find some common ground. How in the world am I, as a 6'4" American with white hair, closing in on 60, be able to find some connection with a young lady there who's a Muslim and a dancer? And I began to tell her my story about how I was an unreached American. You see, many of them assume everybody here is a believer, a follower of Christ, and we know that's far from the truth. And so I started there. I said, man, when I was a kid, my love was sports. What I really loved was basketball. When M translated that to Rima, Rima started smiling. And she spoke back to me through M and said, that's my favorite sport. What are the chances of that happening? She said, I played basketball for 3 years. We began to talk some. I told her that I believe that God had caused our paths to cross, that it was not accidental. And then we arranged to try to get back together to talk some that evening. And then in the middle of our discussion, we got interrupted because she had to go up with the four guys and dance on the stage. And so they were dancing to these songs that were being played. And there wasn't a large group of people there, maybe about 15 from the hotel. And what would happen is that the young lady and the four men would come down from the stage and go out to the small crowd that was there and start dancing with the crowd and invite them to dance with them. And everybody in the crowd got invited to dance except me. Go figure. How come I didn't get invited? They must have heard that I'm a terrible dancer and it wouldn't have worked very well if I'd have come up there. But I stayed seated at my table. When they finished, Rima came back. And this is what M and I told Rima. Said, you know, what you were doing is very interesting because you were up on the stage and the platform and you came down and you invited others to join you. Do you realize that we have a God in our universe who left the stage of heaven and came to dance here on earth? And He invites us to join Him in a saving dance where our sins can be forgiven, where we can find life in Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's no way that we can get up on that stage by ourselves. We can't get to the stage of heaven on our own. The only way that can happen is when God brings us there. And I told Rima, that's the God we serve through Christ. Again, I reminded her of how I believe God had caused our path to cross. And M continued to converse with her and sought to find others that she could share the gospel with. She is another one of my heroes. How many of us would be bitter at what she had gone through? And yet she chose to be generous, looking for opportunities to share the gospel with others. Here is the essence of giving, my friends. It is a privilege, isn't it? If you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. There's no joy like being generous, like giving. That's what we learn from our story here. It's a privilege to give. Look at verses 3 and 4. Again, amazing statements that are going on here in this first century world. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, talking about the Gentile believers, and even beyond their ability, they gave much and then tried to give more. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Don't you just love the spirit of these Macedonians? They gave as much as they could and then gave more, even more than they thought they were able to do so. And they asked for permission. They begged for the opportunity to share. I heard a great story last week about one of our Connections classes here at Summit. It's the Legacy Builders class. We heard that they found out about a couple of residents right here in our community who were struggling taking care of their yards. And they were going to face some fines if they didn't do something about it. And the police department of the city of Acworth got involved. That's what I love telling the story about, too. They got involved. And along with the class, here's who they helped. They helped a man who had retired after serving 37 years in the military. So isn't it great to be able to tell that story on the weekend that we celebrate the birth date of our country? He had just retired. His wife had had a stroke. They had a very steep, sloped lot in their yard. And they needed some help. So what happened? This class showed up and they cut the grass for this family. And then they had a follow-up visit this past Sunday to trim bushes around the exterior of the house so that light could come in the windows and so that they could look out their windows and see something. They also planted some trees that the couple had bought, but they had been unable to plant. They also went to another home. This home, a single mom with 4 children. She has to work 2 jobs just to survive. The Acworth Police Department found a donated mower, and the Legacy Builders class got the front yard in good shape, and they did like the Macedonians. They gave as much as they were able, and they loved it. I could add to that. Friday and Saturday, just about as quiet as it could ever be around this facility. And on Saturday, when I came in to get some things done here, walked around the corner and saw one of our students who had taken several hours of her day to put communication cards in the backs of the chairs and envelopes and to make sure there are pens there so people can communicate with us. And this student does this on a regular basis. And almost none of you know about that, but our Lord does. And now you do, because I'm proud of her. And you know what I'm proud about here today? This is kind of a quiet weekend here in our worship setting. A lot of people on the road. There's one group I'm so excited about are on the road. We have 43 of our people on the way to West Virginia to serve with Builders for Christ, to help a church in that community using their time and their vacation. Be sure to pray for them. A lot of those are students who are serving. That excites me when I hear that. And you know what their testimony is? They give as much as they are able and they love it. If you haven't found that secret yet, do it. It will bring you inexpressible joy. And I believe this is a really important point in our message to emphasize one other principle about generosity. And that is to make sure that we always have the right motive when we give of our time and of our talents and of our treasure. We never want to bring attention to ourselves as we do this. We want to bring attention to God. I want you to see the words of Jesus in Matthew 6. This is really good teaching and very important as we seek to be generous in the way we live. Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." In other words, don't do it to be recognized. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And how important it is at this point in time on the calendar, as we celebrate the 239th birthday of our country, to pray for our leaders, that we as a country will continue to give to the world, and that we will give with the right motive and for the right reason. Pray that our leaders will pave the way for America to give to other parts of the world that need our help. And the motivation should not be for economic advantage, and it should not be for military advantage. It should be from the heart of God. Pray for our country that we will continue to do that and be generous to others. And here's where godly giving begins. How does it begin? It begins when you give yourself to the Lord. First, give yourself to the Lord. Then you have something to give to others. Look at verse 5 from our text. "And they exceeded our expectations." That's called above and beyond. "They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us also." Friends, in order to have anything to give, we must first give ourselves to God. If we don't, we have nothing to give that is going to last forever. It's only when we have the Holy Spirit living in us and through us that we have the power to make an impact. There's a group of students who were gathering together, and they were actually going to give an offering as a group of students, which was awesome. And when the person who took up the offering kind of gathered it and looked at it, he noticed in the basket there was a picture of one of the girls who was a part of the group. And he was just thinking, somebody must have just played a trick on this girl, you know, maybe grabbed a picture out of her wallet and just threw it in there to make a joke out of it. But then somebody picked up the picture and looked on the back of it. And here's the message that was on that picture. Quote, "I have nothing to give, but I give myself." That was her symbol of giving, by putting a picture of herself there, not to draw attention to herself, but to make a statement that she was giving herself. What a great heart. And she gets it. We do have, would you agree, the most awesome example of giving in the universe? Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate giving model. We need to follow His example. Paul reminds us of that in verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Think about that phrase. Yet for your sake, he became poor. Jesus voluntarily chooses to give up his riches to become physically poor for you and for me. He intentionally chooses poverty out of his love for you and me. I am so moved by that. Are you? This is what he does for us. Philippians 2 verses 6 and following describe this action. Who, speaking of Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus owned it all as creator of the universe, but he intentionally gave it up when he came to visit here. Intentionally, he does that. And just think about his life. Almost everything that he had here on this planet was borrowed. Almost everything. Food came from others. Clothing came from others. When he was going to give an illustration, a spiritual truth, he wanted to use a coin. He didn't have a coin. He had to borrow a coin in order to give that story to others. When he comes into Jerusalem, he didn't have a donkey to ride. He had to find someone who would lend a donkey. When he went to sleep at night, people opened their homes up to him. He was homeless, basically. And even after he died, they had to find a borrowed tomb in which to place his body. Why does Jesus do this? He does this so that you and I could become spiritually rich. That's what he does out of his love for us. We become wealthy when we experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the byproducts of this grace, they're incredible. Joy, peace, hope, purpose in life, forgiveness of all of our sins. Have you experienced his grace? It's unbelievable. Do you remember the old hymn? Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. So what should our response be today out of his awesome grace? I invite you, give yourself completely to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and experience his grace. There's no gift like it. This world can't come close to giving you that awesome gift. And then I invite you, evaluate your resource management and use. How are you using the time and the talents and the treasure that God has lent to you? Here's what I want to invite you to consider doing. This is radical. Decide where you're going to stop increasing your standard of living. And don't go beyond it. The American dream says, get more, spend more, have more, use it for yourself. I think God invites us to do something different. I think He invites us to say, stop here so that you can give more to the kingdom. How about with your time, folks? Are you serving? How are you using the time that has been given you? Pray about that. Think about that. It will not happen naturally. It must happen supernaturally. And for that to happen, you must intentionally develop a plan. And you'll follow up with that plan. I just want to remind you, you're not going to take anything physical out of this world, period. You can't send it ahead. You cannot take it with you. But when you invest in the kingdom of God, you're sending it ahead. And it's going to be waiting for you in heaven. I don't know what form it's going to take. But Jesus said a lot about investing in the next life. Not just wasting it here, but giving for the purpose of the kingdom. And here's my feeling. I have a feeling that whatever is waiting for us there, when we get there, we're going to give it away too. Because heaven is going to be filled with generous Christ followers. It is going to be an unbelievable experience. I just invite you to invest there. That's the reason I'm here with you, is to invite you to invest in the life to come, because there's so much waiting on you. And here's my invitation to you. When you give of your time and of your talents and of your treasure, do it with joy. Get joy. Give with joy. There's nothing like it. It's incredible. 2 Corinthians 9:7 encourages us to do just that. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Does it bring you joy to give? Doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about if you've experienced it. I just pray that will be more reflective of your life than ever before. We are so blessed, aren't we? Let's live to be a blessing to others. Father, this is radical. I don't know how many are going to be serious about this. But Lord, we pray now that You will show us how we can give more to You and for Your glory. We're so moved by the example of the Macedonians, by the example of our legacy builders class, by the example of that student serving regularly here, by our Builders for Christ team as they go to serve, by so many others who give stories that I never even hear about. Lord, they inspire us. But ultimately, the greatest example is Jesus. And we just want to praise You today for His generosity. Help us to be like Him, Lord. Show us how we can give more for Your name and for Your glory. And it's through Christ, that great model, we pray. Amen. So I want to ask you here today, it all starts with God's grace. Have you experienced it? Because that's where it begins. When you experience it, then you will have the power to give in the right way, with the right spirit. Not to be noticed, not for that goal, but for the glory of God alone. Are you willing to think about giving more to God? More resources to Him? Again, it's going to take a plan. You might need to sit down with friends or a spouse, come up with a plan together. God will honor that if you do it. Time, talents, and treasure. What more will you give for the kingdom? Would you be willing to be like the Macedonians? See how generous they were, even in tough times? You may be going through one of those right now. Hey, don't be discouraged. God's grace is there for you. Are you willing to say it? I surrender all. Got to give it all back to You. We've been blessed to share the blessing. Pray, would you, in this time, to hear from God? Pray for our Builders for Christ team. Pray for our vacation Bible school on the horizon. Starts a week from tonight and then goes through the week. Maybe some of you would like to serve in that. Oh, you'll get joy being around those kids, I'm telling you. It's going to be an awesome week. If you'd like to serve, give us a call. Indicate it on your communication card before you turn it in. If God's leading you today to make any decision public, we're here. To follow Christ, to be a part of His church, if God's leading you, we'd love to have you. Stand with us as we sing our song. Listen to the voice of God as He speaks to your heart.